Hey there. Ever wonder what happens to all those amazing screenplays that never make it to the big screen? Wonder no more. Welcome to Table Read Podcast, where we bring those undiscovered gems to life. Picture this, talented actors giving incredible performances with the occasional laugh or blooper thrown in, produced by award-winning pros. From drama to comedy, TV pilots to feature films, there's something for everyone. And guess what? We release new episodes every week, so don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Table Read Podcast, where great stories finally get their chance to shine.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN Game Scoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. Joining me this week, Justin Davis,
Scoop.
Brian Altano, Vince Ingenito.
Scoops.
It's what we might call a slower news week here at IGN, but I've still managed to scrape together some interesting topics for us this week. We begin this week in
Japan
and Street Fighter V. Vince, over the weekend was Evo.
Yes, it
and
was.
You were in attendance.
Sure did.
Big that was fighting in, game tournament.
Yeah.
Where was that?
Las Vegas.
USA.
USA. Actually, it was in Paris.
What?
The Paris in Las Vegas.
Oh, Paris, Las yeah. Vegas. That's still in the USA.
USA.
India.
So Capcom used that event to release some news about their plans for Street Fighter V.
Five.
Yes. Four.
Tiger.
Three.
All right. Yoga Flame.
Should we just go through the list and get them all out of the way?
Fire.
That's you.
Ooh, ah,
Yeetok.
USSR. China.
China.
Diamond.
I can't take China.
Japan. Okay. All right. We got that.
All right. So Street Fighter V.
get it together, Vince. We need to give us the hot
Vince,
scoops.
Vince, we need you yes. to give us the hot scoops on Street Fighter V.
Five.
I got you.
They have a different monetization plan for Street Fighter
V. Yeah, they're actually doing something completely different with Street Fighter V from 4. It's actually kind of crazy when you think of like Capcom's history. So you know the big knock some people like to throw at Capcom is like, oh, there's Super Ultra Turbo, you know, Deluxe mm-hmm. Your Mom Edition.
Championship
you know.
Edition. Your Mom sure. Edition.
Didn't come to the States. But yeah, so I never thought that was too big of a deal, but I can see how some people might have, and they're kind of addressing that. So basically, you buy Street Fighter V on the first day, sometime this spring 2016. And that's the last disc you ever have to buy. Basically, all balance updates, even big, huge, sweeping ones to the whole cast, that's going to be free. Whereas in Street Fighter 4, you know, like Arcade Edition came out, mm-hmm. huge, massive, sweeping balance changes to the whole cast. So if you wanted it, you would need to buy Arcade Edition. Otherwise, if you go online and try to play, you are literally not playing the same Street Fighter 4 as everyone else. Now, all those balance changes are just going to be free no matter what. Now, the other big thing, the really huge part of it, is they are, of course, going to add characters over the course of the game, just like they have with every Street Fighter game. But unlike other Street Fighter games where they've kind of packaged that all together in one bundle, hey, here's 4 new characters and some new features, pay $40, mm-hmm. and there you go. Now it's going to be they're going to add new characters kind of incrementally. They haven't said how they're going to do that, how often or frequently or how much. But the big thing, all those characters will be earnable for free. With in-game currency called fight money, which is a reference to Balrog's lost quote, my fight money, you know that. So yeah, so basically you earn fight money by playing, and you can use that fight money to buy the new characters. Now, if you want, you don't want to grind out the fight money. You can just purchase it with their premium currency called Zenny.
It's just dollars.
It's just dollars. It's just dollars. The premium, real money.
This crazy premium currency called
Zenny.
Yeah. So, do we know? Did they announce prices? Like, our character's going to be $6 or $10?
They haven't gotten to that yet, and that's obviously kind of a key important part. Is that if it's unrealistic to grind the stuff and it's just ridiculous?
Yeah.
I mean, they've got to find this weird sweet spot where they obviously don't want to feel like they're giving away all this new content they're making, but at the same time, they can't make it so that, like, well, you just play
10,000 matches and
right.
you'll learn T-Hawk.
Right, yeah, they can't do that either, right? It would be terrible.
Was he from Mortal Kombat? Who is the...
No, T-Hawk, you're right.
Okay.
Yeah, T-Hawk
Both games went through a weird Native American phase, because there was the guy in Mortal Kombat,
It was Nightwolf
too.
In Mortal Kombat, yeah. And then it's just Chief Thunder in Killer Instinct.
Ooh.
Yeah, all of them pretty racist.
Yeah.
If we're being honest.
If we're being honest.
So to me, this seems like a significant departure
yeah.
from what Capcom has traditionally yeah. done with Street Fighter. Going all the way back to Street Fighter II, there you had Super Street Fighter II Championship mm-hmm. Edition.
Yep.
Yep.
And ever since downloadable content became a thing, they've been selling downloadable add-ons mm-hmm. for yep. Street Fighter and other games, too.
For every game, yeah.
And now they're saying, just pay $60 and you're done. We don't want any more of your money. Keep the rest of your money. I'm shocked.
Yeah. Do you know what this reminds me of? Well, the way video games always work.
yeah.
For isn't the that, longest time.
Isn't that terrible that like Capcom goes, comes out at their panel at Evo and they're like, everyone, we have an announcement to make. We're not going to take all your money. And everyone's like, yeah! Yeah. Everyone stands up and claps like it's so this happy. Huge deal. And you're right, it absolutely totally
that's
used
just kind of, I mean, I grew up playing video games. Obviously, it's why I'm here, why we're all here. And that was how it was when I was growing up. You bought yeah. a game, and then if you were good at it, you unlock stuff in it.
Yeah,
or if
yeah.
you played it for a long yeah. time, and you yeah. unlock stuff in it. And you could use that stuff.
I mean, it reminds me of Dota and League of Legends, mm-hmm. where that's sure. very much the League of Legends model of, we're going to launch with these characters, we're going to have a new one every few months,
yeah.
and you can buy it, or you can earn it over time. And I wouldn't even be that surprised to see Capcom put, like, let's say when there's 10 DLC characters, whatever, put one of them on rotation for free. And
sure.
go even farther down that MOBA sort of
isn't
style.
That kind of, did Killer Instinct do that?
Sort so of? Killer
that
Instinct,
was a little bit, but that game wasn't $60.
Right? Right, it wasn't. It was free.
But they did do that.
Yeah, they did do that, absolutely. And they still have that going. Yeah, the game was free, and you got Jago.
Yep.
You can just play with Jago. And then they put all the other characters on a free rotate. Actually, it right. started out with Jago, and then they actually made it. Now it's just a one free rotating character.
Yeah, yeah, it's super cool. I mean, the details will be exactly how much you have to grind.
Sure.
Like, is it reasonable? Like, I play this game a little bit each evening, and then I get a free character every once in a while, or is it just going to be impossible unless you're, a crazy person?
Right.
Yeah, and even if the grinding is excessive or crazy, the reality is that fighting game players don't play an entire cast. You know, like when this past weekend at Evo, like Infiltration, who ended up being the champion.
You have like two or three fighters a year.
He was able to play six characters, and that's out of like a cast of over 40, and people are impressed with that. And that guy is an absolute master and
you
a genius.
You pick a few mains.
Yeah. You pick maybe two or three characters realistically, and those are the characters you're going to learn. Maybe you change it up over time. The point is, like, even if they're going to start with 16 characters, even if they come out with a bunch of new characters and you think one or two of them are cool, that's only one or two that you have to earn or even buy. Even if they're a little bit expensive, what do they cost? If they cost, let's be crazy, $10 a character.
Yeah.
That would be nuts. But if you're only going to buy one or two, then that's $20 you spent in addition to your 60 over the entire life of Street Fighter V compared to Street Fighter IV where you bought several $30 to $40 upgrades.
Well, right. Sure. That's like the comparison there. Let's say they are $10 a character and they release four of them. They would have released four in a balance patch and and a few other tweaks and released it as Super Street Fighter V.
Right.
So it's really not that different.
It's not.
So even if the grind is a little bit ridiculous, it's like just doling out characters over time and committing to never doing a Street Fighter V Turbo. Like, it seems fine to me.
Yeah. It makes me think, like, could you imagine if a sports game ever did this? People have been wanting this for the longest time.
Yeah.
But I mean, if they were just like, we're not going to annualize this for a couple years, and you're going to get this version, and then you can unlock player rosters if you're really good at it.
I've been saying for a long time that anything that's annualized like that should just have a subscription. Like, I pay $10 a month for Call of Duty, and once a year I get a new game, and I get all the DLC.
Mm-hmm.
And that probably works out too. Like, I don't know. I haven't done the math of how many DLC packs there are, but...
Yeah.
Well, that would mean you're spending $120 a year on Call of Duty, instead of just like the $60 a year that you might buy if you just bought a game.
But if you also buy the DLC, I don't know what that adds up to.
Sure.
Like, if you're buying those $15 map packs and there's four of those, that's actually $120 a year.
I think they probably come out in the lead, and you might come out in the lead too, so I think that's a totally fair balance.
And that would be really, really good for like Madden or anything like that. Figure out some perks to build in the off season or whatever. Maybe have some fantasy football thing during the off season and charge just a subscription.
Street Fighter is one of those few games that is a worldwide phenomenon going on 20 plus years now.
Mm-hmm.
There are hardcore fans all over the world that don't identify as gamers, but they know and love Street Fighter. It's one of those few games that can do that. So, it seems about time to just make Street Fighter a service. Right.
Yeah, that's exactly how they phrased it. They're like when I had my interview with them, when I spoke to them, when they first told me exactly how they're doing that, that was their first words to me. So Street Fighter V will be a service. They used that exact phrase. Yeah.
So why do you think they went with this change?
I think the reason they did it is because, as we go on in this generation of digital media and the modern age of gaming, where kind of the game is never done when it comes out. There's been so much back and forth across different publishers about how to do this the right way. And it's gotten to a point where gamers coming up now, it's a big part of why they do or do not buy a game, how it handles these things, how it handles DLC, how
post-release
it handles
content.
Yeah, post-release, right. How that's handled and whether it's handled in a way that the consumer feels is ethical and fair is because it's become a big deal. If you remember my Evolve review, you know, there were a lot of people who were a little bit upset with me for not talking about some of the cosmetic DLC that was on offer for Evolve. For me, I was like, you know, that's not even a thing I think about when I play a game, because cosmetic stuff is, I don't really care. But to a lot of people, the fact that there was this raw chunk of extra, you know, content that was already there at day one that they would have to pay for if they wanted it was really bothersome. So I think Capcom is realizing that the audience and the consumer base is changing, and they're starting to really care about these things, and you have to take a stance that is really consumer first. Otherwise, you're going to get kind of thrown under the bus, no matter how good your game is. Well, and I think that really that's fueled a lot of why they made this decision.
Yeah, it's very smart.
I also wonder if, you know, Street Fighter is a game, you know, again, like a Call of Duty or something that someone pays for once and then will play for 1,000 hours, you know. Unlike, I don't know, like an Uncharted or any, you know, any other sort of single player game where you pay for it once and play it for 11 hours. And so Capcom wants to figure out some way to sort of unlock some value for themselves for the, you know, million people that are going to be playing this game for 5 years.
Right.
Instead of they pay $60 and they never give another cent to Capcom. And if they do it this way, you know, have a game as a service and really sort of take care of your fans, and you'll have costumes and you'll have new DLC characters and you'll have that cosmetic stuff. And, you know, you can get $3 or $4 or $5 from people every few months or whatever it works out to be, kind of maybe for life instead of kind of maybe getting nothing from them or maybe managing to squeeze, you know, another 40 out of them when they buy a super version of a game.
It also does what Nintendo's always been sort of thriving for, which is like maintaining the value of a game and keeping you from trading it in, because they want to make sure that this is something that stays on your shelf for a long time. And I think you're less inclined to like just bring that down at GameStop and get $7 for it or whatever if you know that it's a growing living thing inside your PS4.
Wow.
That is sentient and taking over Japan.
But real quick, just what you're saying is makes perfect sense, because one of the big problems is, and they outline this when you think about it, they outline this to me as well. They get someone who buys, you get something like Street Fighter 4, it sells millions and millions of copies. Super Street Fighter 4 comes out, fewer people buy it.
Yeah.
And then Arcade Edition comes out, and even fewer people buy it. You are essentially locking, you're basically ensuring that anyone who bought Street Fighter 4 is gonna stop playing it once that new version comes out, unless you give it to them for free, because a lot of the people aren't gonna pay the money for it. So by doing this,
you'll have a unified player base.
They'll have a unified player base that sticks with the game, because they'll never. You can walk away from Street Fighter V for a year, log back in, and you are not left behind. Mm-hmm. Like, there may be new characters that you haven't seen yet, but you are not going to be playing a different game, and you're not going to feel like you have to spend extra money just to start playing the game again. Yeah. It's very smart.
And that's important.
Yeah.
So Street Fighter V due out next spring?
Yes, spring 2016.
What's your read on this game?
My read on how it is?
Yeah.
Big thumbs up right now. It's an excellent, excellent reinvention of the franchise and its fundamentals. Pros are happy with it. Casuals are happy with it right now. Right now, it's definitely in a space where everyone loves it. There's a couple of little minor balancey things that people would like to see maybe tweaked a tiny bit. You know, just really, you know, hardcore mechanical things. But other than that, everyone who's played it so far that I've talked to is surprised at how good it looks this early. Hmm.
All right, moving on to another Japanese publisher, Square Enix. They just had an E3 press conference. You want to say it?
Japan!
They had an E3 press conference, which, despite some awkward moments, I think most Square Enix fans were happy with.
Yes.
They showed off a lot of games, both like Western-style adventures, and then they also showed JRPGs.
Got that Kingdom Hearts.
They have Kingdom Hearts, which is going to be Kingdom Hearts 3, which is relevant to what we're about to talk about. Then it's a sequel to Nier, which not too many people were hoping for, I don't think. I know that game has its fans, but I don't think it sold particularly well. And then they announced the formation of, Tokyo RPG Studio, or Factory?
I think that's what it is, Factory. About that.
And their first project is called Project Japanese name that starts with an S that escapes me at the moment. But that's expected sometime next year. So the president of Square Enix, Yosuke Matsuda, was recently talking to Japanese magazine Famitsu, talking about how It's his belief that a new IP, a new game series, can't really be judged until the third entry in its series. And I'll read you a quote here, and I'll tell you why this is a little surprising to me. He says, this is my own personal view, but I believe that it is very difficult to immediately build up a big IP. Looking retrospectively at the gaming industry, many games take off or get their big break at their third title. There are cases where the opposite is true, of course, but regardless, you need at least three games before you can tell whether an IP is going to be really successful or not. I call this my law of third titles. That's why for the first and second games, you experiment to a degree where you can still be flexible, and if the series has grown enough to be able to expect a big hit for the third game, you expand the scale. If the third title is successful, then all is well. And so, like, you know, they're working on their 15th core Final Fantasy game. Yeah. They're obviously not sequel averse, but it's actually surprising to me that a big company would just say, okay, we're gonna do three games of this new IP before we, because that's like, that's years and years and years and millions and millions and millions of dollars before they say, okay, this isn't working.
Yeah, but at the same time, that first burst of money spent is the riskiest.
That's true.
And it's like if you survive that, then it's about whether or not the meter is going up or the meter is going down. And it's kind of hard to tell that until you release the second game.
No, he's right. I mean, you look at games like Tetris 3, Minecraft 3, Angry Birds 3, definitely all games that did not at all get their footing until the third iteration.
I see what you're doing.
Yeah, I mean,
I think it's a weird quote.
It's a weird quote, and it's also expecting a lot of gamers to be like, you have to spend $180 until we get it right. That's kind of a like weird barrier of entry.
Well, I mean, I almost see it as a side effect of it's kind of hard or almost impossible to do one-offs these days. Like, it's like everything in the movie business has to be a cinematic universe now. There's a Ghostbusters cinematic universe with a team of people sculpting how it's going to branch out in these different directions. Because if you're going to put the money into that initial investment to, you know, build a world like Halo or whatever, like, you almost can't do that unless you're going to, you know, reap that reward over a decade or 15 years. No one, I don't think anybody builds a AAA game in mind without having at least having some sort of sequel plan in the event that it's not a bomb. Okay, let's green light a sequel. Like,
it totally works. And, you know, you talk about movies. I saw Ant-Man this weekend. If Ant-Man was just a standalone movie, I might be like, oh, I don't know. But I'm like, I've seen all the other Marvel movies. He's going to be in Captain America. So yeah, okay, let's go see
it. I need to see Ant-Man to stay up to date with the MCU.
I have to see what the end credits sequences are, so I'm up to date with everything.
But you spend, like, I'm sure...
Make it sound like homework.
It kind of is. Keeping up with the Marvel Cinematic Universe is totally homework.
Very entertaining, fun homework.
Like,
a Square Enix game is Rise of the Tomb Raider. And I'm sure that's a tremendously expensive, complex game to make, but less so than the first one, because I already made the first one.
You have all these
systems in place.
And so that's why, like, you would never make a game like Tomb Raider as a one-off anymore, unless it's a bomb, like, unless it doesn't go in the direction you plan. But they build it with sequels in mind, for sure.
You have to, because it's too expensive to make a game now. I mean, it's not 1980s anymore. You know, it costs so many millions.
We got a crazy idea for a game. You're going to be a frog, and you're going to leap across the thing.
It'll be fine.
That happens at Nintendo. And they might work on that game for 2 years, and then it might not work, and they'll be like,
Well, I think even Nintendo's like, we have a crazy idea for a game, and someone's like, cool, put Link in it.
Yeah. Or
like they it'll come be up, fine.
No, really, like they come up with a great idea for a gameplay system, and then they adapt it to a character.
Disappointingly, they're like, this could be a Metroid game.
Something like that. Exactly.
Criticize Nintendo for using Link and Mario, you know, and these franchise characters over and over and over again. But you said it sort of as a jokey way, but it's totally true that they sell you on a new idea by putting a character you love in it. Yeah. Like, I don't necessarily see it as a negative. Like, Nintendo has this stable of characters that you love. So, like, look, we're going to do this digital board game thing. It's going to be called Mario Party. It's awesome. If that was just a bunch of characters you didn't give a shit about, like, that might not have been a big hit.
Sure, like if it was called, like, Mr. Ghostly's Vacuum House or whatever, where a guy has to walk right around with a vacuum and clean up the house, people would be like, who the hell is this? But they're like, oh, Luigi's uncle gave him a mansion, and now he has to stop ghosts. And you're like, oh, all right, well, I love that guy, so let's see what he's up to this year.
Exactly, so they really, I think they do a good job of that, of leveraging their IP to, you know, sort of backdoor new ideas into people's life.
And it's a smart business, and it's just smart from a business standpoint and from a marketing standpoint. I mean, like you said, that first game, what did you call Luigi's Mansion?
It's already
Mr.
gone.
Ghostly's
I also said vacuum, like
vacuum. Vacuum. No, but like you said, a lot of people wouldn't have bought that game. And I mean, I happen to be one of those people who likes Luigi's Mansion. I think it's a solid game.
But everybody likes Luigi's Mansion.
Well, I think some people, when it came out, it didn't get great reviews. But that's the kind of game that would have probably done even worse without people going, hey, I love this character.
But it's weird to me, like, you look at that game company, and they're not following this at all, right? They're making completely one-off experiences.
To be fair, though, it's not those games aren't on the same scale as a Tomb Raider.
Yeah, I guess so, but I mean, they sell just as well, and they end up in our Game of the Year list. So it's like maybe Square should try making a game like that. You know, like you look at Journey, and like it got re-released yesterday on PS4.
Yep.
But other than that, like we're not getting Journey 2 or Journey Extended Edition or Game of the Year Edition or anything like that. It's not part of the Journey trilogy or the Journey cinematic universe.
It's been a long time since we've gotten a Square Enix downloadable game on consoles.
Yeah.
That I can think of.
Yeah.
They did some stuff for like Xbox Live Arcade and PSN, but
Do they co-produce any of the Tomb Raider stuff?
They have the license, so they must have put those games out, And those games are good.
There is, for all the hard time we give them on GameScape and they get on the internet, Ubisoft actually does a good job of this, of balancing. Look, Assassin's Creed games are tremendously expensive. It's this giant battleship that even when they realize they're screwing up, it's kind of hard for them to turn it. It's going to take two or three games to get it back on track.
But you're Shadow of Light.
Yeah,
but then there's Child of Light and there's Valiant Hearts, and that stuff is also successful in its own right.
And the Raymans.
And the Rayman.
The Raymans. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I mean, I would say he's kind of onto something if you look at Uncharted. I mean, it wasn't 3, but the second one was let's turn this game into something that's significantly able to stand on its own feet.
Yeah.
And isn't just sort of this weird mash between Tomb Raider and Indiana Jones. It is that, but confidently, you know?
Right.
Uncharted 2 nailed it, and I think it took a little bit of time, you know?
Is Sleeping Dogs still a Square Enix property?
I think so. Yes.
Because that's the only game in their stable I can think of that they haven't announced a sequel.
Well, Triad Wars.
That MMO.
Yeah. Triad Wars. We actually did a IGN live play of it today. It's an open world Sleeping Dogs, and this is not hyperbole, but the graphics legitimately do look like a PS3 game.
Yeah, they're top to bottom. It's a bad looking game. It looks fun, but not.
It looks
pretty.
Really fun. It's jarring how last gen it is.
Well,
and I thought I'm never one of those people that's a graphics whore or whatever, but I looked at this game and I'm like, man, I hope this is a huge world to compensate for this, because
that's how I felt about Godzilla, new Godzilla game.
It's a bummer.
But it's not a huge world.
It's not.
It's just that one. It's just Japan!
All right, let's check in with the listeners.
Hey, listeners.
Hey, listeners.
Remember, you can always reach us at the email address, gamescoop@ign.com, just like Fabian did.
Fabian.
And he says, hey, panel.
Ooh.
I'd like to see a fighting game using celebrities as the fighters.
Ooh.
Not animated versions, actual video captures of the celebrities like they did on the first 4 Mortal Kombat games. High quality fight mechanics and real celebrities would make for a ridiculous yet fun game. Do you agree?
Was there a celebrity deathmatch video game?
Was there a game? This reminded me of Celebrity Deathmatch.
There was a video game of that show.
Man, I'd kind of forgotten about that show, and they would do halftime specials.
Yeah. It was Claymation.
Claymation.
Marilyn Manson.
I had this idea for
MTV.
Yeah. I had an idea for an IGN video series for a while back, where every time there was a celebrity feud, we would make their Miis and have them fight each other in Smash Brothers. So right now, Taylor Swift and Nicki Minaj are feuding, and Meek Mill and Drake are feuding over who writes rap lyrics. Spoilers, none of them do. And we would just make them and put them in the game and let them battle each other out, put it on high level with both PCs fighting each other. Yeah. But that, it's cartoony. I don't know how many celebrities would be beat the shit out of me.
Yeah, so if you're having realistic video captured versions of the celebrities, that seems like a licensing nightmare.
Well,
to license the likeness.
Yeah, but it's been done.
What do you mean?
Kind of.
In what?
Street Fighter the movie, the game.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, that is the
worst. And it was probably the worst fighting game I've ever seen in my life.
The fact that that exists is such a weird, it's such a walk to that. Because it's there was a fighting game that they turned into a movie with actors that they turned back into a fighting game using digitized versions of those actors, which was their answer to Mortal Kombat, which is what Street Fighter was kind of originally before Mortal Kombat, when it was a cartoon game, and it sucked. Just like the movie, but unlike the original game. What?
What happened? And then let's get another level of that. The Saturn home console version was actually used the same graphics, but mechanically it was actually a completely different fighting game.
That's so weird. Better or worse?
Better. Okay. Better. The Saturn version of Street Fighter, the movie, the game, is actually a kind of okay fighting game.
That's really crazy. People complain about console parity nowadays, but back in the day, you would get a completely different game. Like Aladdin for Super Nintendo and Genesis, totally different games.
Both completely different games.
Yes, both really good.
Crazy.
Mortal Kombat on Super Nintendo just doesn't have any blood.
Yep, that's it.
On the original. Two, though, upped their game.
Manned up.
Yeah, I guess I kind of forgot how prevalent that used to be. You would really have to research, like, okay, I'm buying Symphony of the Night. Is the Saturn version gimped in some way? Should I just get it on PS1?
Yep.
And it would be like, well, this game has...
Symphony of the Night came to Saturn?
It did in Japan.
Okay.
Yeah.
You would end up in this situation where, like, well, this version has more characters, but this version has more levels. And you're like, well, what am I supposed to do? Like,
it sounds like today. If you pre-order from GameStop,
now it's all pre-order
Magic Hat. If you pre-order from Amazon, you get a new sword.
But I was really into Beavis and Butthead, and I bought the Genesis game and I beat it. And then I went to my friend's house to play the Super Nintendo game, and I'm like, this is a completely different game. Like, this is a platformer, and the other game was like kind of open world RPG.
Yeah,
so I went and bought that, and it was like I had two Beavis and Butthead games in 1 year.
I had a Bart Simpson Genesis game that was totally different than the SNES games.
Did you ever play Street Fighter 20XX on NES?
That's like a side scroller platformer.
I had a bunch of friends that were duped by that. They're like, oh, there's a new Street Fighter game and it takes place in the future. Nope.
You're fighting in the streets. You are a street fighter.
You are a street fighter.
What if we found out that all the 20XXs were already years that happened already?
Yeah, no, that's
right. It was like 2009 or whatever.
That's been a feature we've been planning for a long time. It's like video game future predictions that ended up being wrong. Like, they didn't put their, like, Mega Man already happened. And I'm like, no, we didn't.
Oh, yeah.
There was no nuclear war in 20XX.
200X, I think it was, which I think we've had already, right? That was probably 2009.
Yeah, exactly.
A modern celebrity realistic fighting game.
Yeah.
And that would be hard to pull off.
I don't know.
I think you could do it, but you would only get rights to people like Pauly Shore.
You'd need to do it in a way.
Dorf would 100% be down for that.
I think there is an mobile fighting game that's like parody versions of celebrities. So it's like Kit Kardashian, and they like fight. Yeah.
I think the team to do it would be NRS, and it would be NetherRealm Studios, the creators of Mortal Kombat and Injustice, because their mobile games are actually super, like, they're super simplified versions of fighting games, but they're totally okay and fun, and they do use, like, they have a WWE one, and, like, they take, like, these crazy riffs on, like, John Cena and The Undertaker, and they just go wild with it. It's actually kind of funny.
Are there licensed names in them?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
It's licensed by the WWE, and it's actually kind of cool, like, if they took that format and just, like, put random celebrities in it.
Yeah, I would play that.
I'd play it.
It'd be the same celebrities that are on, Celebrity Fit Club and celebrity Donald Trump bullshit. Like, it'd be all those celebrities. Whoever wants to sign up for those, whoever got voted off Dancing with the Stars first, their next step is to be on this game for sure.
Yeah, y'all remember Pit Fighter?
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah.
That was like the video capture fighting game that I liked.
Oh Jean-Claude Van
Damme. Settle down.
Whoa, he's
a pit fight.
Van Damme had like the double kick, the aerial double kick. And when you beat someone with it, like at the last, that was not the last hit, it was all slow-mo, like.
Yeah, that was one of the first games I played where I realized that games could suck.
Oh yeah,
well, there's always
you've never
first
played
game.
Like an NES game that taught you that.
No, I played NES games that were bad that I didn't understand were bad because A, I was maybe too young, or B, like my friends got good at them because you just had that sort of like Stockholm syndrome of getting a bad game and then playing it because it was all.
Oh,
you had.
Oh man, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Yeah,
I bought with my allowance money. No, this game is good. This game, I'm happy with this purchase. This game's good.
Get out of my head, it's so crazy.
I talk about this probably once every 3 months on IGN, but Deadly Towers was my game. I was like, it's like Zelda. And then I was like, I don't think this game is good. I don't understand it. And eventually you grow up and you start talking to grown-ups like us, and they're just like, yeah, that game sucked. Do you remember that game? It was bad.
But that's like an interesting observation. Like, I didn't really have a lot of concept of certain games being good or bad when I was little. I just played them all kind of equally. Or I would play the good ones more, but I didn't really think about the other ones not being good or not liking them.
Because it was like video games. You're like, this is better than doing chores or like going outside or whatever. Yeah. This is awesome.
Yeah. I didn't realize E.T. was bad until years later. I mean, I was a kid. I was like 4 years old when I played E.T.
Yeah.
And it frustrated me and I couldn't get anywhere, but it was E.T., so I assumed, well, it's E.T., I like it, it's good.
Yeah, I love the movies.
You know, I'm just bad at it, I thought to myself in my little four-year-old brain, but it wasn't until later.
And then you grow up and people are like, oh, inside the making of the worst video game ever made.
And, like, and then I was like, yeah, I like pretty bad.
All right, now's the time on Game Scoop when we play video game 20 questions.
All right, you gotta get it together.
I don't have to tell you, I'm always bad at this. I will do everything I can. I got it. I think I got it last time, then I screwed it up.
Vince, have you played this with us?
Yeah, I played it a couple times with you guys.
Okay. This week's suggestion comes from Aaron, one of our listeners, Aaron.
All right.
And
I'm already, I just.
So are we doing the.
You may begin.
I know we changed.
We're going to go down the line.
Oh, is that what we're all playing together.
We're all playing together, right, right. That's why I know you guys changed the format a little bit since last time I was.
Did this game originally come out before January 1st, 2000.
Yes.
The inaugural question.
All right.
As always. Okay.
Was this a console exclusive game?
Originally.
Okay.
Okay.
Was this originally exclusive to a Sega platform?
No.
Okay, so wait. Should we ask if it's multi-platform?
I think that was what I was trying to do.
It sounds to me from the answer that he gave that originally it was exclusive, but then it went multi-platform.
But console exclusive. Okay, so I'm confused.
Screwed up. It's all over.
Did it come to multiple consoles? So he said console exclusive.
Yeah.
And then you said Sega exclusive, but now I don't want to ask Nintendo exclusive in case it was multi-console. I'll just ask. Was it exclusive to a Nintendo console?
No.
Great.
Oh wait. So then, I mean,
yeah, it came to multiple consoles.
So I screwed up.
Well, it's fine.
I set us down a bad path.
No,
we're fine.
I don't know. Your original question. What was the wording of your question again?
Was it a console exclusive?
And
the answer was yes.
And the answer was yes at first.
At first, yes.
So it was originally at some point a console exclusive.
And then maybe it came to PC or something else.
Yeah. So, I mean,
I took that to mean my interpretation.
What I should have said was this exclusive to one console?
Yeah, my interpretation was that no, this was just a console game.
Okay, so it's not a Nintendo game, it's not a Sega game.
Exclusively.
So does that mean it was a PC? It's a.
My interpretation was this game only available on consoles?
See?
Right.
Yeah.
And I said yes.
Ask it. Well, okay. I'll ask one, then you can. We'll skip back to you. Is this developer still in business?
Yes.
What about?
I'm just hanging out.
No, it was your turn.
I went out of time.
Oh, you did. Okay.
Oh, we did actually skip you.
It's
whatever.
Fine.
We'll
power through it.
Yeah.
Do it.
No, we got nothing. We know the developer's in business. We know it was originally a console game.
Okay.
For a multi-console game.
Five.
Okay.
Plenty of time.
Okay.
Want to get into genre?
We got genre. Yeah, we got developer.
So I'm gonna go with.
That narrows it down.
Was the game played in a 2D side-scrolling format?
No.
Ooh. Okay.
Was the game originally made by a Japanese developer?
Yes. That's a pretty good question, actually. That narrows it down.
Yeah, that was a good question.
Yeah, I mean,
pre 2000.
Pre-2000 console game.
Yeah.
Not a 2D side-scroller. Actually, pre-2000, I've been picturing SNES, but it actually could be. We should probably narrow down the platform.
Is it not? That's right.
Like, we didn't ask Sony, we didn't
ask.
Oh,
my God,
it could easily be PS1.
It could be a PS1 game.
Ask if it's 3D.
I think we figured out it's 3D from your last one, right? Oh, because no. What do we figure out?
That we know that it's
why are we whispering?
I don't know why we're whispering. You know who can hear us. That's how this works.
We know it's like 2D side-scroller. But we don't know it's not. But it doesn't mean it's.
There's literally no secrets in this room.
I agree with Justin that we only covered
two
Sega. It's Sega and Nintendo. We should see if it's a Sony game, I think.
Is it a Sony game?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Snap.
Right.
Sony first party?
Yeah.
Is that.
Well.
Did you interpret his question as did this game come to a PlayStation console?
Yes. Well. Yeah. But also,
are you gonna give us a freebie?
I have to stop giving interpretive questions.
Yeah. it was published by Sony.
Okay. There we go. Okay. Bonus. That was a bonus point right there.
Okay.
Y'all can thank me.
You
later.
Ask yours, and I got a good question.
Okay. Let's see. It was published by Sony.
Yeah.
but it's not a Japanese developed game. You said
it is a Japanese developed game.
Oh, it is.
Game.
It is. Okay.
Japanese developed game published by Sony.
Not a 2D side scroller.
Not a 2D side scroller. Not that there's a lot of those on the PS1 anyway.
Is it an RPG?
Yes.
Ooh.
Nice.
Ooh, that's damn,
a,
man.
That's a.
All right.
Oh, God.
If it's published by Sony, I'm pretty sure I know what it is.
If it's Beyond the Beyond, I'm going to be so mad. Or Ve.
Oh, God,
or
one that's
of those,
funny.
One of those weird PS1 RPGs. Okay. RPG throws me off, because I was going to ask if you play as a vehicle of some kind.
No.
RPG. So PS1, what were first-party PS1 RPGs?
So ask it. I mean, we can't guess, right?
Yeah, it's
if we
seven,
guess, that's
seven
it.
Death rules. So yeah, but if you guess wrong.
We're on a good path right now.
Yeah,
right.
You're 9 questions.
I'm fairly certain I know what the game is, but
well, you can say it to us. It's not an official guess.
We got 11 more questions.
What do you think
I'm
it is?
Pretty sure it's Legend of Dragoon.
Okay, how can we narrow that down in a way that might give us some information if it's not that?
I'm trying to think of other Sony
it's
published.
It's a party based game. Did it have an overworld? Did it have? Who was the developer? I don't even remember.
That's a good question. I can't remember either. So I'm trying to think of other Sony published RPGs. Was Wild Arms published by Sony?
Yeah, see, that's all.
No, it was on Sony. I'm not sure if it was published
Capcom?
By Sony.
Capcom. I honestly don't know.
I think Wild Arms might have been Capcom.
Okay. Just think of a way to narrow down Legend of Dragoon. And we don't do Letters of the Alphabet. We decided that was cheating.
Right.
Really?
Yeah.
Damn.
Because you can actually use, we did the math, you can use like 6 questions to figure out what letter the game starts with.
Was the combat turn-based?
Yes. That's 10.
I don't even know what. I see now we're out of, I mean, I played a lot of those RPGs, but none of the Sony ones.
I'm totally Final cool Fantasy with 7, 8, piggybacking 9. Off of Vince's brain right now.
Legend of Dragoon was party-based, right?
Yes, it was.
Did it come on multiple discs? One disc.
I'm racking my brain now for back my retail days of packing this game up for customers and trying to remember if it was on multiple discs. I think it might have been on 2.
I know, it's weird.
I'm trying to think of anything else that we could throw at this to. Were there?
See, we're in trouble because I played like all the Square Enix games from that era and like Suikoden and stuff, but not a lot of the Sony ones.
Right. Like so what happens if we make a guess and we're wrong?
We lose.
We just lose.
Yeah. We got a lot of questions, right?
10 questions left.
Did it come on multiple discs?
Yes.
Yeah. We're still in there.
Did it feature dragoons?
Oh, okay. No. Was there?
I would allow that question.
Was there a heavy like a very heavy crafting element to it?
No.
Are you thinking of like Star Ocean or something like that?
Yeah, I was trying to eliminate.
Okay. Is it a fantasy themed game?
I guess that's a gray area on how you
it is.
Define.
It would be, and it would be a gray area
in Star Ocean.
I mean, define fantasy.
I don't know. I don't even know.
In terms of the question.
Fantasy themed game?
No, because that's not Sony.
Yeah. Do you in this game? Do you gain new skills? Do you gain new skills and spells through like story events?
That's a weird and hard question.
Yeah, I'm trying to rule out Wild Arms.
Yeah,
that's a lot of games.
I don't think so.
I think it's really. Did Sony publish Star Ocean 2? Star Ocean. Right. You know, this is all fuzzy to me.
No, you know what? I think Star Ocean was published by. Might have been.
Right, and like Grandia's like Game Arts and all that,
right,
but
Game
it's
Arts,
hard to even sort that stuff out.
This is getting back into the weeds.
No, but the company, okay, so the company's still in business. Well, because we found out it was Sony, never mind.
Right.
We can't narrow down developer, but we don't remember who developed it.
I don't remember who developed it. What are the other Sony published ones that you can think of? Beyond the Beyond, right?
Yeah, I mean, is there Dragoons in this game?
I don't think so.
Well...
If there was an enemy called that in the game, I don't know.
It's likely not Legend of Dragoon.
Yeah, maybe not.
But damn, I don't think Beyond the Beyond came on multiple discs. Like, those were old.
No, Beyond the Beyond was one disc.
Yeah, those
Beyond
were old
Beyond the Beyond was
games.
Definitely one disc. So it's a Sony-published, multi-disc, turn-based RPG.
What are you
guys are making me doubt something. I just need to double-check.
Yeah, please do. How are you?
I'm good. I'm hanging out.
What are you
working
on?
Keep it going. Let's keep it going.
Okay.
I'm doing this 20 questions thing.
I'll go.
But I'm doing really bad at it. How about you?
You're doing fine.
Okay.
I'll go with this.
You come in. You clutch in at the last second.
This is a team effort.
Would it be categorized as a strategy RPG?
No.
No, it's
not. Question.
Okay. So that rules out some things. So I was gonna say, maybe Vandal Hearts. But no, it's not that. What do you think, Justin? Do you have a better guess?
Is it polygonal or is sprite based?
Polygonal.
I guess it's not or. Is it polygonal is the question. Okay. So that eliminates some of those really, really old ones too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like my memory is really fuzzy, but I remember like Vey and Beyond the Beyond being sprite based.
Yeah.
Right. For all my life. I mean, in Legend of Dragoon, like,
but he said there's no dragoons in it. Is there no dragoons in Legend of Dragoon? Is that what's going
to
trip us up
here? I'm
trying
to remember if they technically called your characters dragoons when they transformed.
Like I said, I never played that one, so.
All right, that's 16. I'm certain I've answered all of your questions correctly.
Okay, good.
Is there some sort of card trading or card system minigame? Is there any sort of cards in the game?
I don't think so.
That rules out Karsha.
All right, I don't know.
which I don't think was published by Sony and was also a strategy RPG.
You know
that
what?
Was a good game, by the way.
Glad we ruled out Karsha. I was worried.
Also, Karsha was a good game.
Coldcept, I ruled out Coldcept as well.
Right, is it like Monopoly, but fucking bullshit with monsters?
Oh my god, it is.
Coldcept's really good.
Oh, I love Coldcept, but those die rolls are bullshit.
Yeah, totally.
We're in the weeds here.
You have three questions left.
Bring us home, Vince.
Oh man, have we ever lost?
Yeah. No, we lose often. Now.
we lose often.
We were on track like 8 questions in, and then we got in trouble.
I'm honestly.
So it eventually came to PC, is what it sounds like, or a different console.
Wait, don't we ask that question? Did it eventually come to PC?
You're asking me, did it come to PC? Yes.
Whoa.
18.
Man, I don't know. I don't know. This like we get in this situation. I'm like, I don't even want to play anymore.
No,
because like
no.
I don't know.
I just knocked out your last two questions.
Legend of Dragoon definitely did not come.
I'm not burning a question on this. I just want to ask you, Damon, personally. Are we going to be mad when you read off the answer?
That might be a hint.
Yeah, probably yes.
He's good. All right. He's really good.
Now I'm racking my brain for what big dumb goofy PC boxes I saw on the walls when I was there.
No, but I envision it coming to PC years later, like just it's on Steam now, like Final Fantasy VII's on Steam now.
Right.
You know, like that's what I'm picturing.
Okay, this is a
bring her home. Two left.
This is a I don't know if I should waste a question on this.
We gotta fight through this.
We gotta get through it.
We're on.
You gotta do it.
Camera's rolling.
Is there a number in the title?
Yes.
Oh, snap.
One question left.
That's a good question. Why didn't we ask it? It's like always afterwards. We didn't ask if it was like a sequel or the first in a series.
So here's the thing that's going on in my brain right now.
Okay, lay it on me.
I'm wondering if I'm not remembering that through some weird licensing deal, if Sony published Final Fantasy VII in America.
I was hovering around that too.
I can't.
Because it did come to PC.
Mm-hmm.
Were they even? I don't even remember the
and
era.
Seven is a number.
They were already right. Square. They were already Square Enix by then, right? Or no? I don't even remember when
It's polygonal.
No,
they were still Square.
They were still Squaresoft at that point.
Like the timeline in my head is all fuzzy.
Yeah, no, they're still Squaresoft at that point. Not Square Enix.
Yeah, Squaresoft.
Yet.
Might,
so they might.
Squaresoft.
Have, they,
you know what? Because Nintendo published Squaresoft's NES games.
Right. So do we want to do this?
It's as good a guess as any.
Final Fantasy VII.
Yes. Sony published Final Fantasy VII.
You know what's crazy? This is why you're really good at this. Because I always think this is going to be like one of the most. As these go on, they're going to get more and more obscure. And we went down that whole path of like, is it cardboard?
I thought for sure this would be like
the easiest one to guess in a long time.
The Sony thing tripped us up.
Yeah.
No, that was actually.
And then you guys had me second guessing myself. Like, did Sony not publish this?
Yeah.
It's a cool curveball because. Like you said, eventually, now as Square as we know them now, they're Square Enix and they're self-contained. in development and publishing, but they weren't.
Yeah.
I don't think that switchover, if you have your phone, do you have it on you? Did Sony also publish 8 and 9? I mean, I think that switchover happened right
it
around.
It happened right around
there. I'd have to look after that. I don't know about
that. Cool.
Final Fantasy VII, you guys got it. And the last question.
What a deep cut. A hard, hard game to guess.
Yeah. See, I'm not going to pick something that you guys would never guess or that you wouldn't know.
Yep.
So
number actually, in the title. That was good, Vince.
That was really good. We have time for one more this week. We're running.
Oh God!
Low on time this week.
All right, let's do it. We got this, guys.
This is one that I've picked on my own.
Brian O'Connell, This is the moment.
This is going to be the weird, obscure one.
Clearing the table. We may begin.
Was it released before January 1st, 2000?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, don't get all fancy pants on us.
Was this game originally was this game exclusive to one console?
Yes.
Ooh.
Is it an NES game?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Is it a platforming game?
No.
No?
Yeah. No.
No.
Okay. I have a feeling you jump in it.
Back to the Future Part 2 and 3.
God. Well, yeah, actually, that's a good question. Like, if we can get in the perspective of, like, top-down or...
Is it licensed?
Yeah, that's what I was going to get into.
Multiplayer.
Is it licensed? Is it first party?
So it's exclusive to the NES, and it is not a platforming game.
He looks so unsure about platforming.
Not a platforming game.
It's kind of a not platforming game.
Like, cool.
I don't know, like...
Contra is not a platforming game.
Yeah, Castlevania 2 is, like, kind
of,
sort
of... So hold it. Because of that, actually, because of the era, it might be... We got the era so early, and the what do you call it, console.
Sure.
Let's rule out some developers.
If it's a first party...
Is this a Konami game?
No.
Is this developer still in business?
Yes.
Is it a first party game?
Yes.
Okay.
There you go. So, first party non-platformer on the NES.
First party non-platformer on the NES.
But Star Tropics.
But kind of a platformer because he was like,
yeah, but it's not a platformer. I mean, ultimately, it's not a platformer.
Okay, so.
Is Wrecking Crew a platformer?
No. No, you don't jump in that game. You just climb ladders and wreck crews.
So, how many. wreck stuff. How many first party NES games are there that aren't platformers?
Not a little.
RC Pro-Am wasn't first. Rare wasn't first party.
Right.
By
Rare wasn't.
Yeah, there's a couple puzzle games, but those aren't. No, not a platformer like what Damon said.
Right.
So there's Wrecking Crew.
Yeah.
There's what was the one I said before? Star Tropics.
I mean, there's like Donkey Kong Jr.
There's Zelda.
Zelda 2 is not technically a platformer.
Okay, yeah, there you go. Zelda 2 is actually a pretty good guess because...
All right. Is it like a franchise? Are we still playing games that star, you know, this character, this franchise today? With that in the title.
Today?
On this generation of consoles.
In this generation of consoles, today, no.
Was there a Zelda game in this generation
of
consoles?
No,
it was Wind Waker HD.
Guys, this is not my guess, so it's Metroid.
Okay, that's a pretty
good. It's not a platformer.
It's a pretty good guess.
But.
You ask if it's sci-fi?
If it's what do you mean, Metroid's a platformer?
But it's not a platformer.
It's totally a platformer.
There's platforming in it, but it's also an adventure action game.
It is. Yeah.
Can you think of another Nintendo game?
I would call Metroid a platformer, personally.
Yeah, me too.
So I would.
Kid Icarus, same with.
Oh, right. Kid Icarus is another kind of like. I mean, it is still a platformer, but.
I think it's a total.
Are we reading
Zelda,
into this whole?
Zelda 2 is not a platform.
Well, let's like figure out other stuff you do in this game. We know what you don't, or you might do sort of a little.
How's this?
Do you shoot things?
Exactly. That's what I was saying. Do you shoot? Can you shoot things?
No.
You can't. Okay. So definitely not.
Do you have a sword?
Or Kid Icarus?
No.
Okay.
That's 10.
It's not Zelda 2. It's not Metroid.
No swords.
It's not Kid Icarus because you shoot things in Kid Icarus.
Right?
You shoot arrows.
So there's no swords, no projectile
weapons.
Let's
think. Other first-party games.
There's still Wrecking Crew.
But that's not even... has no platforming
Mario's
elements.
Mario's Woods.
Does a character from this game feature in the new Super Smash Brothers?
That's a great question.
I can't answer that just because, I mean, seemingly every...
As one of the fighters.
No.
Okay, so it's not Punch-Out or anything like that.
Yeah. What fighter is in Punch-Out? Or what?
Little Mac.
Is in
Smash Brothers.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, man.
Wow, this is surprisingly tough.
Wrecking Crew is still in the mix.
Yeah.
Do you? It is. This is a construction
Justin
theme.
Is obsessed with Wrecking Crew.
You know, I'm just trying to. Duck Hunt.
Do you want to?
Going to play Duck Hunt Dog.
Not even remotely.
But you shoot things in that.
Yeah, and Duck Hunt Dog's playable. Is and there a multiplayer?
Ooh.
No.
Oh, it's a single player game.
Okay. Single player, no shooting.
I think even Wrecking Crew has a two-player mode, right?
Mm-hmm. So it's not Wrecking Crew, guys.
Not a platformer. You don't shoot things. You don't have a sword.
Puzzle game.
Is it a puzzle game?
No.
Oh my god.
Army questions.
There goes Wario Woods.
It goes Wario's Woods. There goes Yoshi's Cookie.
Yeah, it goes Yoshi's Cookie.
Yeah. Dr. Mario's out.
Dr. Mario's out.
Damn it!
Tetris is out.
This is really tough.
Is it an RPG?
That's your question?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
No Star Tropics.
Were there any first party?
No.
Star Tropics. Is that first party?
No.
No? Nintendo didn't make Star Tropics?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
I feel like maybe they published that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. This is getting dire, guys.
Yeah.
This is getting really dire.
I feel like I should know this.
Damon picked this one, too.
Yeah.
Is there an amiibo related to this? Is that a good question?
No, because if he's not a Smash Brothers character, it's not a Smash Brothers character, then I doubt it.
Okay.
Then not a mainline playable Smash Brothers
character. Wait, what were Damon's answers when we asked if the character was still around?
Not this generation, apparently.
So it's like F-Zero hadn't started yet.
F-Zero is not.
Yeah, F-Zero hadn't started yet.
Nope.
But that's like thinking about something that's important because you want to think about something that did appear in other games.
Okay, like something that was around for a while, but
like,
then
what
stopped.
About like what
are
about?
There, here, I got one. Here's this weird. Are there motorcycles in it?
Yes.
Oh, nice.
Yes,
Bam!
It is.
Nice work. Wow, that was awesome!
Excitebike.
You're right. Not a platformer. You do jump on.
But there's like lots of like crazy like jumping around on platforms and stuff. Yeah.
That's really good. And we saw there was Excitebike 64. There wasn't.
Yeah.
Oh man. You know what's interesting too? Like there was an Excitebike Mario Kart stage. This generation.
Yeah. Oh, so I didn't know about that.
That's fine. But that's totally fine because it's not a standalone Excitebike game.
It's a 1985 launch title for the NES.
Yep.
And I was surprised to remember there's not any multiplayer. It's like, that's weird.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's game right. With no that's right.
When
yeah.
we were doing History of Awesome, that was one of the things we learned. Is like Excitebike was a launch game, but Mario wasn't. So there's this period of like, it's a while. It's like almost a year that people could have an NES with no Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
it's just like, it's
what did
weird.
They buy?
Yeah, it's well. Very, they robbed the robot.
Like, yep. I remember that.
Well, they played Mario Brothers, right? Like the weird Mario Brothers.
I guess,
with Mario and Luigi
before. I like that game.
Yeah, I do like it for what it is. Yeah.
Man, that was a great one.
That was awesome.
Thank you. See, I wanted to do another one because I knew you would be involved in an NES
game.
Yeah,
no, that's a little better for me than... Although Final Fantasy VII, I totally could have gotten.
Yeah, but it's so funny how the vagary of like the fact that the business realities of Square have changed just made that a curveball for us.
The problem with this game is not this game. It is your own mind because your mind sends you down these paths where you're just like, I know it's one of these things. Like, I'm thinking, like, is it Solomon's Key? And I'm like, it's like Excitebike. They could not be more opposite. You know?
Nintendo make Mighty Bomb Jack.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
That's the thing, I'm starting to think about all these weird NES games. I'm like,
and when you're a kid, you think every game is made by Nintendo?
Yeah.
Oh, man. It's a good one.
You guys guessed both of them this week. So.
Sweet.
Yeah. Well done. That's all the scoops we have for this week. Thank you, Justin. Thank you, Brian. Thank you, Vince. Remember, you can always reach us at the email address, gamescoop@ign.com. My name is Damon. This is IGN GameScoop, and we're out.
Japan.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.